Good evening, guys. I'm so glad you guys are here with us. Just a couple short days until big weekend. It's super exciting. Today, we are starting our sermon series over the Ten Commandments. So love God and love others. We were supposed to start this last week, but we had a snow day, as you guys all know. So we missed, yay, it was exciting. It was exciting, a nice little break. But we missed you guys a lot and are so thankful that we are back tonight. So if you would go ahead and open up your Bibles to Exodus 20, that's where we'll camp out for the evening. But I have a quick question. Have any of you guys seen the Disney movie Hercules? Yeah? Maybe? So Hercules is a movie about some of the Greek gods, right? The mythology from the Greeks. We have Hercules, we have Hades, we have Zeus, Hera, and many others, right? So Zeus and Hera are the parents of these other Greek gods, and throughout the movie, we see that Hades is plotting against Hercules, right? And it's just chaotic. They each want their own thing. There's a lot of chaos happening, and it causes chaos and panic for everyone involved for a lot of it, right? And in the Disney movie, of course, there's a happy ending, you know, whatever. But this is a common story in a lot of the mythology from the Greeks and the Romans and a lot of the other religions that have multiple gods, right? We see these gods fighting one another. They have competing wills. They ask the people to do crazy things to please them so that the gods will do what the people want them, right? So, but a lot of times, the gods are only looking after themselves. These gods in the Greek and Roman and all the other mythologies, the gods are only looking after themselves. And they're made up, you guys. These are all fake gods. And there's lots and lots and lots of them. And you know what? A lot of people believe that, or believed that in the ancient times, that there were many gods that they had to please, and they were competing against one another, and it was just chaos, right? But then we see our God, the God of the Israelites. They called him Yahweh. We see him be completely different than all of these other gods because he is the one true God, right? While all of these fake, false, made-up gods are causing chaos and panic, our God, Yahweh, is protecting his people. He is making a way for them. He's delivering them. He's giving forgiveness and providence over them, right? So on the one side, we have these people, or these gods, I'm sorry, that just want what's best for them, make their people do crazy sacrifices and rituals to be pleased. But then we have our God who asks for obedience and love, right? And that's what we're going to talk about whenever we're talking through the Ten Commandments. The first four commandments of the Ten Commandments have to do with our relationship with the Lord. And then the last six have to do with the relationship that we have with others because of our relationship with the Lord. The Lord asks for our obedience because of the salvation that he has provided us, right? We know now through Christ. So let's read Exodus 20, 1 through 3. It says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." So just a little bit of background information for you guys before we get rolling on the first commandment. These Ten Commandments, the ten words that we get from the Lord at Mount Sinai, is the start of what's called the law for the Israelites. So God had just delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians, right? They ran away. God gave them salvation through that. And so now he is setting up this law, which is what sets them apart, sets the Israelites apart from all of the other people that are around them, all the other religions, all the other people groups. And the fact that they only have one God is so countercultural to what's around them, right? Countercultural means different than the people around them. It's so different from anything that's been taught before. This is a covenant that he makes with his people. So it's called a two-party covenant, okay? So there's one party that gives the covenant and then the party that receives the covenant. So God is giving the covenant. He's asking the people for their obedience to this law. And then so then the people who are getting the covenant are saying they are going to obey, right? And the Lord is going to promise them protection and provision throughout this and salvation ultimately. This was pretty common in the ancient Near Eastern times, which is the times when the Old Testament was written. There were covenants between kings and their people. There were covenants that people made with their false gods. So this wasn't a new idea, this idea of a covenant, but this was the covenant that we see the real God, Yahweh, give the Israelites. It establishes his, like, kingship, his rule over the people. It establishes him as the protector and the sovereign one over people. And it's also working within the means of what the people know, right? Because it's not a new thing, but it is so much different from what the people of that day had. So like I already said earlier, the Ten Commandments, the first four are about our relationship with God, and the next six are how that relationship plays out with others. And we see this theme continues on throughout the New Testament. Even in Matthew 22:37-39, after Jesus is asked by a scribe what the most important law is, right? The scribe is trying to test Jesus. And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Right? So even in there, we see love the Lord your God. Just one God with a big capital G. Even there, Jesus is establishing that there is one God. Because he goes on to say in the next verse, all of the law and the prophets rest on these. So even Jesus is teaching what has been taught in the Old Testament, right? And over the next 10 weeks, we'll flesh that out, what all that looks like with the other nine commandments that we're not talking about tonight. And then the last little bit of background information before we go even further. Verse 2 says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Right? Even in the Old Testament, we see that the Lord offers his salvation and then asks for obedience. We know that's true in the New Testament. We know that Jesus dies on the cross and that after we accept him and are followers of him, that we obey, right? We can't earn our salvation. He wants obedience because of what he has done. And this is true in the Old Testament as well. The Lord has always asked for faith. He saves his people and then asks for obedience. He didn't say, obey all these things, and then I'll save you from the Egyptians. He saved them from the Egyptians, and then asked for obedience. And oftentimes, we skip over that verse, too, when we're talking about the Ten Commandments. God isn't asking them to do all of these things perfectly. He's asking them to follow in faithful obedience, and he is still asking us that today. Okay? So, the commandment that we're supposed to be going over today is, you shall have no other gods before me. As we study these commandments, or this commandment tonight, we're going to see four different things that each commandment could probably give us, okay? So each commandment would have a revelation, a confrontation, an instruction, and a promise. So the revelation is that there are no other gods before Yahweh, right? Yahweh is the only God, he is the one true God, and this language that is used is saying, there can't be any other gods before me or even alongside of me. In this time, whenever people believed in multiple gods, they thought there was like one God that was better than all the other ones and he was in charge. And Yahweh is saying, even that is not true. You can't have me and other things. It is me and me alone. By saying this, he destroys the idea of polytheism, which is where you're having a lot of gods, and he also destroys the idea of atheism, which is where you have no God, right? We see that Yahweh is God, and that there should be no other gods before him or beside him. Later on in Deuteronomy, the Ten Commandments are listed again in Deuteronomy 5, but then in chapter 6, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This was a thing, it was called the Shema, but the Israelites repeated it 3 times a day at least. And in their statement, their like motto for life, they even said, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. It was so foundational to their theology that they repeated it 3 times a day. And this idea carries through to the New Testament whenever Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 8:5 through 6, for although there are many so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom we are all things and through whom we exist. Yahweh is one. He is one, and he is the only one we should worship. Which brings us to the confrontation that this commandment offers, which is that we have created other gods. He is setting himself up as the only God here and saying, you can't worship those other gods, the god of the wind or the god of the sea or the god of the fire or god of fertility. You can't make sacrifices to them because they're not real. I am the only God that exists. You must worship me alone. But they have created these other gods, and he's confronting them about it. And you know what? Everyone here tonight, listen to me when I say this, everyone here tonight worships something. You either worship God or you worship something else. You can't, the way you live your life shows that. And some of you might worship God alongside something else, right? You might want God and money, or God and success, or God and a girlfriend or boyfriend, and you're worshiping both of these, right? But God tells us that there shouldn't be no other gods alongside him. He is the only one. So next week, the second commandment is to carve out all of the idols, right? Get rid of them. So Dylan's going to talk a lot about this idea of what the other gods that you are worshiping are and how to get rid of them. But this week, I want you to think on what some of those, what we call false gods or counterfeit gods are. Maybe they're surface level. So your grades, your work, your relationships, your sports, your band, your student council presidency. Maybe they're surface level. But maybe they get deeper. It could be that you worship control or greed or your image or your reputation or your success, right? Tim Keller wrote a book over counterfeit gods, and he says whenever you're trying to think about what your false gods are in your life, to ask yourself some questions. Ask yourself, what do you daydream about? What is the one thing you want more than anything else in the world and you would do anything to get it? Maybe ask yourself, what are your nightmares about? What do you fear? Do you fear giving up this? Do you feel like you couldn't go on living if you gave up this or if this was taken away from you? What controls you? What makes you super anxious or super excited or like makes you make the decisions you are making every single day? These are probably some of your counterfeit gods that you're worshiping alongside of the one true God. And that feels like a lot because you're probably sitting there and you're probably thinking, man, I do put a lot of trust in my sports or my friends or even my parents. You know, maybe I'm worshiping these things. But that's okay, because the next two things that go along with the commandments that we get from each commandment is an instruction and a promise. So the instruction is pretty simple here. It's worship God alone. Get rid of these other things. But it's easier to say what that instruction is than actually do it. It's easier to say I'm only going to worship God than it is to actually only worship God. He alone is worthy of our praise. In Psalm 145, it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. He is greater than all of your counterfeit gods. He is the only one worthy of our worship. And in Deuteronomy 6, 13 through 15, it says, "It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. For the Lord your God is in your midst. He is a jealous God, lest you anger the Lord your God, and his anger be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off of the face of the earth." You guys, this commandment teaches us that our God is a jealous God. He wants our worship to himself, right? He created us. He gave us instruction. He's given us protection and providence and salvation. And he wants us to worship him alone. He doesn't want us worshiping those other things. But he helps us not worship those other things. We don't have to go through this alone, especially now that we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross and was resurrected again and sent the Holy Spirit to help. Right? The Holy Spirit is our helper who will provide us ways to only worship God. He will help us love God more and more so that those other things that are controlling our lives, once we surrender those to the Lord and give those up, he's going to help us worship God alone, which takes us to the promise that we get from this commandment, right? Yahweh is the only one who offers forgiveness and salvation and protection. He is the only one that can redeem you and reconcile you and use what the world meant for evil for good. He is the only one that can give you love and joy and comfort and peace. All of your counterfeit gods will fail you. Anything that is not Yahweh himself that you put your trust in is going to fall short because we live in a fallen world. A lot of like really successful people who have a lot of money, when you ask them if they're happy with the amount of money, they'll probably tell you, "No, I want more. I want more." A lot of people who reach their goals of getting an NBA championship ring just want to go and get another NBA championship ring, right? Nothing is ever enough when you put your trust in those things. The idols and the counterfeit gods that we have made up ask us to pour more and more and more of ourselves out for those gods, right? Just practice a little bit longer. Work a little bit harder to make the A on that test. Gossip a little bit more to get the best of friends, right? They're just asking you to pour more of yourself out. But you know what? Christ poured himself out for you all on the cross. He poured himself out to save you, and then he just asks for faith and obedience in response to that. And he's going to redeem those things that you are putting as gods. The only way to overcome an old obsession is to replace it with an expulsive new one. The only way to overcome your obsession with those other gods is to learn to love God more and more, right? The only way to overcome those worshiping the gods that you are worshiping is to learn how to glorify the Lord through your sports. Go and tell people about Jesus while you're playing sports. Be a good example and tell others about Christ's love, right? Be okay whenever you mess up a little bit because your identity is found in Christ and not found in whatever it is that you've messed up in, right? Learn how to honor the Lord through the relationships with your friends. Instead of gossiping about one another, build each other up in love like the Lord commands us to. The gospel is the only way one is empowered to reorient their love. The Holy Spirit shaping your heart, removing these idols, is the only way to experience the one true worship of God. Paul in Galatians calls the worship of other gods being enslaved to them. They just control you. Like I said, they ask you to give more and more and more of yourself. But you know what? In Christ, you find freedom. It says, for freedom, you have been set free, in fact, right? Christ frees you from the bondage of the slavery that you are living in when you are living in worship to these other gods. And then along with this promise that the Lord can redeem and forgive and save you comes the promise of the unity of believers by believing in one God. In Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, it says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." That's a lot of ones in that first, or in that verse, first of all. Second of all, God is one, and he has called us to one family. We have one Holy Spirit uniting us all. And so the promise that comes through worshiping God alone is not only that he can save and redeem you, but also that you get to live in this community of believers who also worships the one true God, who also can spur you on to worship that one true God and to teach you more and more how to remove those other idols, hold you accountable to remove those other idols, right? Not find your identity in those other idols. So as we've walked through this, we've seen that God has revealed himself as the one true God. Yahweh is the one and only God. The other little g gods that in the Old Testament times, in the ancient Near East times, people were worshiping, didn't stand a chance against him. And now our gods that we're worshiping now are material things, money, power, a sports championship. They don't hold up to God either. God is the only one who can satisfy, right? So then we see the confrontation is that we have other gods. We see that the instruction is to worship God alone, and that the promise is that he can save and redeem you through that worship, right? And next week, Dylan's going to talk a lot more about this. He's going to talk about how you worship these things and how to not worship these things, right? It's probably going to feel very similar to what this is, but it's because the Lord your God has called you to worship him and him alone. He has saved you if you are a believer, or he has given you a way to be saved if you don't know Jesus, right? And he has asked that you worship him and obey him and him alone. So as we close tonight, I want you guys over the next week, but also specifically right now, to ask the Lord to reveal those other gods in your life. Maybe ask yourself those questions that I gave you earlier. What do you feel like if it was removed from your life right now that you could not live without? Maybe it's sports. Maybe it's really good grades. Maybe it's being captain of something. Ask the Lord what is controlling you, what is making you anxious, what you fear, and ask him to remove those gods from your life. Ask him to increase your love for him so that those gods go away. Let's pray. Father, you are good, and we praise you for that. Thank you for being the one true God who always satisfies and never fails us. Thank you for not letting it be an option to worship other gods, because those gods will leave us unsatisfied and sad. I pray that you remind us of that daily. Open up our hearts and show us the things that get in the way of your worship, get in the way of us loving you how you have called us to love, God. And let us know that we are not hopeless in this, because you have sent your helper, the Spirit, to help us with this, to remove those things and sanctify us so that we may know and love you more and more. I pray that as we go to small group time, we are able to just talk about this, be open with one another, be respectful to our teachers, but just learn more and more about each other and more about you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.